All right, you ready?
Living ready, born ready, always ready.
Right. Welcome back to the Nassimut Hockey Podcast. It has been a while. Life got in the way, but we're back. We have a schedule coming up. We're back to weekly shows. James, nice to see you. You're still in your old place, as I see, in your kitchen nook. If we were better marketers, we would have had a, I don't know, like a coach's corner, but James in the kitchen or something. What's James cooking? Or some dumb shit.
Still here. This will be our last guaranteed show with me in this place. Some things have delayed the moving process, but alas, I have no more rope to pull here. I have to be out. So this will be our last show with me in this house.
That's exciting. And then you have a nice background with all your presumably more Star Wars than Islanders gear, but or whatever you have going on.
Maybe not at first, but eventually, I'll have some. Yeah, I've been collecting jerseys, so maybe that will be what I have going on.
I have also been on a jersey kick. That's been a lot of my eBay searching lately.
Yeah.
When I was on Long Island, I guess it was only a few months ago now, my stepdad was, I think I sent you a photo of them, James.
I
asked my stepdad if he still had this North Stars jersey I remember seeing when I was younger. And he said, I'll do you one better. I was just about to throw out a few of them and like donate. So he pulls out a San Jose Sharks jersey, a Penguins jersey, and the North Stars jersey. He said, get him out of here. You're leaving tomorrow. Take him with you. So I'm stoked because I had like one of those. CCM did a series of the vintage series a number of years ago. But so I got a North Stars jersey because I really wanted one. But I love having an original. It's very cool. They're all like older CCM jerseys from the 90s and 80s. So definitely excited. So, and then you sent me that Western Conference one with Bo Horvat. And then I have a few of my own, but what's your favorite right now? And what's something that you're looking at getting?
I don't have a Goathead jersey and I desperately want one of those. So I'm looking at potentially getting one of those. What's my favorite jersey that I currently have though?
Yeah. If you had to pick one.
So I've had a theme with the jersey that I've been collecting, and it's just like weird, like almost like taking the theme from Islanders Anxiety, weird Islanders, just weird jerseys. Like, wait, that guy was on that team? Like, do I really have, is that a real jersey? That. Like, yeah. So, like even the Bo Horvat. I think the Bo Horvat one might be my favorite just because of how weird it is, a Western Conference All-Star jersey. That pays homage to the old, I don't remember what year it was, those old.
It's like 96, late 90s. Like there was a couple years where they did that.
But that might be the reason why that one's my favorite. It's got an Islanders patch on it, but it says Western Conference, and it's a Bo Horvat jersey. And it's just all sorts of weird, all sorts of not right, but also right at the same time. So I think that's my favorite jersey right now. And then I'm trying to remember, there was one that I was going to get, and I can't remember who it was or what team it was on, because it was, again, it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, really, that name on that jersey? And it turns out that, yeah, that name on that jersey. So it's eluding me right now. I can't remember who it was.
I've been seeing a couple older NHL All-Star jerseys, and that was inspired by wanting to go to the NHL All-Star game when it's on Long Island at UBS Arena, which is going to be, I think, very cool. With how the Islanders are playing, I don't really know how that's going to go in a couple of years. If the team's not good, it's going to be really tough, I think, for the fans just to, it's already tough when we're on a national stage, in the stadium series. And I think that's where I want to start. Is with the stadium series and not necessarily the Islanders game right away. You were there for Philly, New Jersey, and I wanted to just get your kind of firsthand account on like the atmosphere, and everything. I mean, we were texting throughout the day. I'm sure if people follow you, they were seeing bits and pieces of this, but I wasn't sure if you wrote about it or I know you were on a podcast there. So maybe that was a little bit different. You weren't talking about the atmosphere necessarily, but wanted to get your two cents. Cause I just got to watch it on whatever channel it was on. I can't remember. But I was at home, so it was a little bit different. So I wanted to hear a little bit about it.
It was probably one of the coolest, if not the coolest game that I've ever covered. The atmosphere was electric. And look, there's a reason why a lot of the narrative about these outdoor games is like, oh, it's boring on TV. And that's just purely because it's for the person who bought the ticket. The atmosphere, the intermission shows, the pregame shows, like just the detail and the efficiency they put into this game was incredible. So much so that the point of, or the aesthetic of the rink and on the field around the rink was supposed to look like a park in New Jersey, that they hired actors to walk their dog through the park, go for a run, work out. And I was just like mind blown by, I'm watching these guys running and I'm like, where are these guys going? Like, this people playing hockey right now. What's going on here? Dogs on the field. I'm like, what is happening? And somebody explained, they're like, yeah, these are paid actors. This is supposed to, and I'm like, oh my God, this is, I get it. This is incredible. So, it was just so much fun. Like from the tailgates, which was so cool to see, and the 70,000 fans, you know, just out there having fun, eating, playing music, drinking, like Lindy Ruff said, Diet Coke. It was just a ton of fun. The fan fest was great. You know, I shot some pucks at targets. That was a lot of fun. Took a picture with the Stanley Cup, like stuff like that. So it was incredible. I'm a big advocate for them continuing to do this every year. I know that, you know, people have been talking about, should they do it in New York, New Jersey every year? Maybe not every year. Don't let it lose its luster. But I think that there's certainly an appetite for it to be, you know, one of those traveling things. Like it happens every year somewhere else. I think that should remain because the people who do go love it, like have the best times. So I'm an advocate for keeping it around.
And there was discourse on it getting a little tired. And I guess from what I'm hearing is for the people there, it's amazing. I understand on TV, it could get annoying. I don't know that you get the same effect and the fanfare and the connection to it all on TV. It's just the game that winds up being a little sloppy and a lot of these just kind of X factor things when, you know, in the Islanders case, it was a really, really important game. Do you think there's a disconnect there between the people that actually show up and those that are watching on TV? And that I definitely understand the scheduling and not doing it every single year, but for the people that do show up, it seems to be a very different, obviously a very different event. And that might be for what the NHL wants. That might be what they're aiming at. It's not necessarily for TV, which is a different approach because most of the time, it is for that purpose, but is it the other way around this time?
Well, no, I think it's there's definitely that disconnect because like I said, like everything that they plan for this event is you have to be there for, because if you're not there, then you're just watching a hockey game outdoors that's on TV. So I think that's what the disconnect is here. Like now maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't watch the on-air version, but are they filming the Jonas Brothers concert? I don't know. Is that something people want to even watch on TV?
I didn't watch the intermission. I just had stuff to do. So I was watching the game and then kind of going back and forth. Like I didn't, it was really just an ESPN thing. I didn't care for what was being said. And I didn't watch the Philly New Jersey game. I can't remember why, but I didn't watch the game, but I saw enough about it and it made sense. It was very New Jersey focused. It wasn't in Philly. I understand it's like a rivalry there. I'm sure they did a little bit on that. I think what annoyed me about the Islander game and the coverage was, And I didn't have any, I didn't have high expectations for the Islanders to be the focus by any means. I understand it's the Rangers, but even in the Islander Ranger game, the Devils are getting brought up. It's all about Jersey. There's PK Subban, Mark Messier, and then Steve Levy, who is a Ranger fan. It just wasn't a lot about the Islanders. Not nearly enough, right? It didn't do anything for me. So by the intermission, I was like, I don't need this, right? Ray Ferraro did, I think, as good of a job as somebody in his position could have done. He's not really on air like the entire time. But for the rest of it, yeah, it was, I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't enough about the Islanders to keep me focused throughout the entire game. So to your point, it was just me watching a game that was outdoors. And I didn't have that same connection. I'm sure if you were a Ranger fan and or a Devils fan, it was pretty good, right? And it is an event. I think that to give it credit, it's a game you want to get together with people to watch. Like at least it's an excuse. So it doesn't take it all away. It's kind of like watching the Super Bowl. There's a lot that happens that you need to be there for to really feel it. It doesn't really make it less exciting to watch necessarily. It's just a different experience. But from an Islander fan perspective, it was lackluster for me. I mean, the games suck, but and well, we'll talk about that. But
the other thing too is that, you know, in the market that the game was hosted in, it's Ranger City. So it was heavily outweighed in fans, 70-30 in favor of Ranger fans. So
yeah, but that's at the game on TV. You got to at least do something.
Well, you don't get the same pop when your team scores, right? And you can feel that. You can hear that. And listen, whether it does or it doesn't affect the guys on the ice is probably not relevant. But at least for the fan watching, it's maybe discouraging.
Yeah, that wasn't really what I had a problem with. It was literally just not having enough to say about the Islanders during the game. And it's a little too far back for me now, and I'm trying to push that out of my memory. So that whole day of me getting a little excited and getting all my food together and, you know, getting on my couch. I love that. That's like my Islander ritual. I love doing that. Yeah. Whether, you know, a lot of Tuesday games, a lot of Taco Tuesdays on the couch watching an Islander game. And that's just like, it's just where the way the schedule shakes out. But, you know, it was a Sunday and Islanders really don't play a lot on a Sunday, especially in the middle of the day. They're not particularly good at those games, but in matinees in general, but yeah, I just wanted like a nice relaxing Sunday, and then I saw the rest of my day. I think I was even going to play on my own game tonight, like that night. So it was just great. Like I really wanted to enjoy it, and you know, Ray Ferraro is there. I wanted like they didn't have anybody. It just wasn't. And then the Islanders were a bummer. They just came out in suits. Like it just that I kind of expected. They really didn't deserve to have very much fun going into that game. They were playing like shit. So. If I'm Lamoriello, you say, yeah, you don't deserve to have fun. You're going to go in their old business, try to win a hockey game that they didn't win. So I don't know. I guess that's enough about that. It's just that was not a good experience. I didn't enjoy watching that for a lot of reasons. But I wanted to at least start there. I want us to start kind of in the clouds and then get into some nitty gritty stuff as we go here, because it's just, there's so much. I mean, I think a lot of it is that we lost a little bit of time. So we have a lot to cover, but nothing's really changed. I think if you just took our show from a couple weeks ago, or really even the beginning of the season, you don't really have much change. And when I saw a graphic, I want to credit who posted it. It was actually the NHL Network. It was season splits by coach. Now, obviously, Lambert had a different chunk of time to deal with than Wah does. But looking through this, I don't know if you saw this, but had Lambert's record 19-15-11, Wah 4-5-3. I think they're 4-6-3 now. No. When was that posted? 26th. Oh, that was yesterday. So yeah, that hasn't changed. 4-5-3 goals per game under Lambert, 2.93 under Wah, 2.83 goals against per game, 3.36, 3.33 Power play almost exactly the same, 22%, just a hair over 22%. And the penalty kill got worse by almost 10%. So far, it's not the coach. And I think that's what we discussed last episode was, you know, because the Islanders weren't, you know, by the eye test measure, they were doing better. I think it was clear you were seeing a little more energy. The underlying numbers were there, but the results weren't there. And it's at a certain point, it's the roster, not the coach. And I think we've established that Wah can only do so much in a short period of time, midway through the season, got to break a lot of bad habits, so on and so forth. But he's not having the effect I think it seemed like he was having. Do those numbers surprise you, or is that just kind of solidifying what you see?
Yeah, it's just kind of solidifying what I see here. It's just, you know, just peeking at the schedule, I don't exactly remember when we last, you know, left off, but loss, OT loss, win, loss, shootout loss, OT loss, OT win, loss, OT win. It's like, it's more, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? So it's just, it does feel like the definition of insanity here. Now, I will say to Patrick Waugh's credit, at least recently, and I'm sure this is something you want to talk about, I have a tendency of skipping ahead, but he at least is trying to change things up a little bit with the way he's deploying the lineup.
Yeah, it's a little cry for help, right? I think you're like, you're stacking Nelson, Horvat, and Barzal together. It's a little bit of a cry for help to be like, yeah, I'm going to show you what this could be. Now, it screws up a lot of the rest of the roster, and McLean came up. He's been playing well. I want to talk about him later too, but like, I think you have, there's something there, and Wah can only do so much, right? It's, and I still think there's something bigger here that we need to discuss, and I'm going to use a word that Dan at Islanders Anxiety used. And I really try to listen to their show after hours, but we're recording a day later or so than typical. So I had to listen because I just been not wanting to watch Islanders hockey. So this is helpful. I just need, like, sometimes they just kind of calm me through it a little bit. What he said was, there's something rotten on the roster. Something in that locker room has gone bad. This is a team that went to battle for one another, that wouldn't get rattled, that just no matter what, they figured a way. And now, even if they lost, you know, they've looked bad in wins. They've looked worse in losses. They've crumbled under any adversity. I'm trying to figure out, I mean, we're not there. I don't even know if I was around the team, if I'd be able to tell, just because it's a group that's been around for so long. What's going, and it might not be a particular player, right? It may be something else. And I have an idea that I want to pitch after you give your thoughts, but like, is something rotten? Like, does Lamoriello have work to do just to kind of seek out what's causing this team to play like this? Because it's not the coaching, right? Yeah. Like, it's clearly not that, and it's going to help change the culture, but something's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if rotten is the right word. I feel like maybe just more stale. And I know that things have changed structure-wise and coaching-wise and voice-wise, like all that stuff. Yes, it certainly has changed, but the personnel, you know, the core personnel largely hasn't. Look, when Bo Horvat came in, he made an impact, right? The team started to score more. They just need more guys like that, you know. And yes, there is a cry for help here happening, like you said, with Nelson being stacked on the top line with their two best guys. Perhaps that puts a bit of an offensive jolt in this team. It's only been one game.
That they won, you know, but which is a good start,
right? Correct. But you know, you're right. Like, there's there's something stale here, and you know they probably need more impact players. Like, you know, I didn't get to watch the game that they won yesterday in its entirety. I did watch, you know, the abridged version of it, but you know, someone made a good point. Like, Adam Pellick used to be really good at hockey. What happened to that guy? And you know, Ryan Pulock is putting the puck in the back of the net a little bit. You know, he scored yesterday. That was good for him. But not, you know, the game changer he was drafted to be.
Not that he was, right? He was a 9-10 goal scorer a year.
Yeah.
That's not Noah Dobson numbers, right? Where no. You're a future Norris Trophy candidate and possibly winner. But it was something. It was the... Yeah. It was that group on D kind of making an impact. And I guess, like, you're saying stale, the word stale, and I don't know, rotten and stale are just, you know, rotten bread is just stale, right? It's overdone. I think it's one of the same. I don't want to argue the point at like semantics like that, but is it that they're too comfortable? Like, well, I think Islanders fans joke about, like, oh, it's a country club and this and that. And I think I have said this, God, I'm going to give myself a little credit here. I said this all last year. I've continued to say it this year. This is not new. Like, we're seeing the ultimate just really, really bad results, but they got by on I don't fucking know what. For a long time during that first year with that last year with Trotz, I said, grow up, you're professionals. I really don't want to hear any of this shit. Then last year was a lot of excuses about Lambert's the new coach and they have to learn. I don't care. Figure it out. You're professionals. And this is the same shit. They're losing in different ways, but they're losing. And now you're starting to see Waz calling it confidence. What do they have to play for? Like, there's no one's job is at risk. No one's, I don't want to say that they need to be afraid. I think that's silly, but I don't know. Like, they all have contracts. They've all kind of,
yeah.
I don't want to say they've won anything because they really fucking haven't. Yeah. But there's nothing there. So, like, nothing's mixing it up. There's no young kids pushing them for jobs. There's nothing. They all have contracts. They know they can't be moved. Like, what is it that? Like, is that overblown?
I don't think it's overblown. I think there is something to that. I look at a couple different teams here. I look at the New York Rangers, who have a kid in Matt Rempe who just came up and has kicked the door down to the NHL and has just, you know, made his presence abundantly obvious. Like, here's Matt Rempe and he's fighting for a job. And as a result, the Rangers are winning games. I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have expiring contracts for guys like Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi, and suddenly they're filling the net and they're impact players. And you're right. Like, there is a lot of comfortability on Long Island because Pierre Engvall is here for another 6 years after this season. Bo Horvath's not going anywhere. Now, he's not the problem. Matthew Barzell is not going anywhere. He's not the problem either. But, like, you know, you got guys who
Pajot, Lee, Palmieri.
Right, Pajot, Lee. Palmieri has been fine, I think, but Pellick,
he wasn't brought in to be that. I think that's where I get caught up with him. He was brought in to be depth consistently, 20, 25 goals. Pajot, much the same. You have to be, if you're not scoring goals, you got to be better on the penalty kill. And some of that's systems. Some of that's just not being an asshole. Like, I can't stress that enough. You're brought in to, you know, I think even the last 3 years, up until this second, I would even say that the Islanders are really strong up the middle, and Horvat's way better in the circle than Pajot. Nelson's better this season than Pajot. Last game, in fact, I saw a weird stat that was Nelson's first game in over 400 games without taking a faceoff. Right now, you're stacked. Those are three centers you have on one line, so they're very comfortable in that position. Now you have McLean kind of step up there, but I definitely agree. I guess I'll bring up McLean now just because we're having this part of the conversation. That tenacity, that kind of bite to his game, I think something that Fasching also brought last season was something the Islanders needed then and need desperately now. There is nothing that kid can lead the way just by simply going out there and having that fire, because no one has that right now. They're dead. It's not, I don't know that it's confidence. And there's a lot going on here that the Islanders just, I know they're not going to be what they were 3 or 4 years ago. Fine. But you're barely a hockey team right now. You are a shell of your former self. And I think the question started earlier this season with what the hell is this team's identity? And now I'm not sure if they're a hockey team. Like, as a group of people, they were always more than the sum of their parts. And I you know, that narrative has always kind of in the background been they still need that top line person. Then you bring in Horvat, who I think they were always looking for one or two, but you at least got the one. And then what? Everybody else forgets what they're doing. And it's the other stat, and I'll, it was in an article that I just want to bring it up. The Islanders have spent an average of 15.48 per game trailing, which is fifth best in the league. So it's not even that the team is bad, right? And how long have I been saying there's a leadership problem? I think a lot of this is Anders Lee. I think a lot of this is Cal Clutterbuck. There was a Lambert problem behind the bench. There was just as much, if not more, of a problem on the ice and in the locker room.
Yeah, well, I think that's what this is proving, right? There's a problem, you know, in the locker room. They need a shakeup. Like, and look, like, I don't know if this is something you're going to ask me, like, how do they fix this? There's no doubt in my mind that at least for the rest of this season, they're going to be trying to make the playoffs. They're probably even going to be buyers at the deadline. However, let's get past the inevitable either miss of the playoffs or first round exit. What do they do? I think if Philly is proving anything to us, it's that we used to have this mindset where it was you're either a contending team or you're selling everything and stripping it down and rebuilding. I think if Philly's proving anything to us, it's that you can do this on the fly. They're competing. They're a good team. They're committing to get ready to see some of these guys still get traded. They did that starting last summer. They brought in some good young parts. There's guys on that team, or they got some good draft picks too, and they drafted some pretty exciting young talent for, you know, the future. So, and look, the other team in New York did that not so long ago too, in the Rangers, right? They acquire these near NHL ready guys or young NHL ready guys in addition to draft picks, and they kind of did this on the fly, whereas I think the Islanders, they have an opportunity to do this too.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Take the action on any of the NHL's upcoming games, including Jets Hurricanes, Oilers Kraken, Avalanche Predators, Panthers Red Wings, and many more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 186 hours after issuance. See DK ng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League.
One guy that comes to mind, look, I don't know how true this is, but I did see something about Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic, the St. Louis Blues reporter, saying, like, you know, Jordan Kyrou is not a fit for the Blues long term. He does have a long term contract, but is there a way to get that guy on the Islanders? Former 30 goal scorer who's, I think, in his mid 20s, that would make the team younger and guess what? Better. Do you have to trade a Brock Nelson this summer? Do you have to trade him ahead of the trade deadline? Maybe. You know, somebody's going to covet a 30 goal scorer who I think still has term, but is only making $6 million, which is kind of a bargain, and the cap's going up. So that $6 million is going to turn into $4 million or maybe $3.5 million soon.
You don't think you'd have to keep Nelson and add Kyrou? Like, it's not, I there's a part of me that he's part of that. He's not the guy. He's not the guy.
There's only so many parts that you can sell that are going to help do what you need to do.
I know it's hard. And yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Because who else are you trading, right? You're not trading. Well, nobody's taking that Engvall contract. No, well, I mean, no. you're gonna trade a Cal Clutterbuck. You're gonna maybe get a third round pick for him. Matt Martin, you're lucky if you get like a seventh. Like,
well, don't get me wrong. I love roster space. Like, it's not. Yeah. I think there's a difference in some of these trades. I just want to separate the idea of I'm not suggesting trading Cal Clutterbuck for Jordan Kyrou. I obviously don't think that's going to happen.
Oh no, I know.
What I'm saying is Wahlstrom and or something to that effect. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something there where you have a guy that is. Look, I was going to save Wahlstrom for later too. I think he's useless. His time on the Islanders done. He's not good. He doesn't fit in whatever the hell the Islanders are doing. He's kind of running out of time. He's an RFA this summer. Trade him. I don't think it's worth it, frankly. It doesn't seem like it's a good fit. I don't know what his value is. Like, that's why I say it's Wahlstrom and at least you have Holmstrom, who woke up, although he's got one goal in his last, like, seems like 40 games. I know that's not correct, but yeah, I think he has 12th or 13th goal recently. And there was a long drought in between those goals. So I don't know what that looks like. And I didn't really want to talk about specifics. I think that's a decent idea. And I believe I also saw that as well on Twitter. I think my question was more about, like, and I guess you kind of answered it, you know, like, is the season over for the Islanders? Is it time to, like, I think personally, I'm running out of steam for this season. And I said this 15 games ago. It's like, I cannot believe there are 40 more games. This has been exhausting. This has been hard to watch. This has not been fun at all. It's everyone has got a year older. We've made no progress. We don't know anything more about this team other than what the problems are. There's been a couple bright spots. You're concerned a little bit about Sorokin, mainly just because he's getting the most shots in the league, the most high-danger shots for any team that's not San Jose. And what do you do? Like, this season, my next question is, then they have to add. They have too much of a main core. They don't really have peripheral pieces that are working the way that they need them to. That's why I said Palmieri, Peugeot. They have Holmstrom. But there's more than enough to build around.
Yeah.
And I guess I just, go ahead.
And that's why I said, like, there's, if Philly's proving anything, that you could do this on the fly. Look who their coach is right now. Look who their coach was last season, right? The Flyers sucked last season. They're better this season. I'm not saying that they're the same coach, but they're at least cut from similar cloths, Patrick Waugh and John Tortorella. They're fiery guys. They're, you know, I would say Patrick Waugh is more polished. He's not so cut and dry, but, you know, they largely demand from their teams and Tortorella is getting results, I don't see why Patrick Waugh can't do the same thing. He just needs to be equipped, because I think what we are learning is, you know, yes, Lane Lambert wasn't the best coach, but this is also a roster construction issue. It's not, you know, necessarily completely a coaching issue. I think they have the better coach, but it's certainly a roster construction thing.
When you have guys that are just not even playing that much, or you have a bunch of just lower guys in the lineup, Mayfield, Martin, Clutterbuck, making mistakes, and they're not, like Mayfield more than the other two, but they're not playing that much, and they're just giving points away for the Islanders. It's hard to watch. What I wrote down in the notes was the fourth line is going out like a lamb chop. And that sucks, because that's not what I want the memory of this line to be. Because this was, remember, pre-Trotz, I've said this a million times. The team I think we're used to goes well before Trotz. I think it goes all the way back to even before Fight Night 2011. But in that season where Zenon Konopka and a bunch of these guys just kind of came together, and Michael Haley and maybe a young Matt Martin back in that time, maybe getting close to a young Casey Zizekas, but a bunch of just kind of tough guy players that built this identity. And we're just like watching it crumble, and the fourth line simply not working, and then being a liability is watching it in real time, like actually like personifying the end of the identity that we once knew for a decade or more, you know, that we just got so used to, and we're seeing, it's like witnessing your own mortality. Like we're at the theater and we're front row seats to a huge change coming to this team, right? Because it was sad with Bevilier and Bailey, and now we're going to see two more players go. And frankly, I don't want them on the ice at all moving forward. You have other options. Fashion's coming back. You have a Gauthier. Wallstrom doesn't deserve to be in the lineup. I don't understand. Like, wave him. I don't get it. If you're really concentrated on winning this season, trade them or wave these players. Get them going. Something's got to happen. You have to open up at least a spot. But you're just like, again, we're witnessing our own mortality with this line. The Islanders, I don't know how they're coming to terms with it. Like, this should be the last dance. This should be like the Boston Bruins.
Yeah,
we're just gonna kick ass. If this is how we're going out, instead it's the opposite. Cal Clutterbuck isn't a leader; he can barely play. Martin's a liability. Mayfield, who's been around for a long time, grew up in the Islanders system, is good until he's not, and then not just a liability, but costing games. It's really tough, and that's why that's why I ask, is the season over? Do they just kind of move on? And maybe Lou just stands pat and lets it roll and figures it out at a different time. We saw that a couple years ago. He just like didn't sell anything when he thought Clutterbuck 2 years ago would have maybe been traded for something when he was still kind of good.
Yeah. Those were the first two mistakes probably.
Yeah. And I don't want to rewrite anything. Like, I think I often get caught up in that. Well, this problem, and I said it last episode, you know, oh, well, it started with this. And I, you know, if he had done what he needed to do following the second Tampa series loss, we're not in this position, but he fucking didn't. So here we are. And something about planting a tree yesterday and 20 years ago and blah, 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 or tomorrow, whatever. Like, do it though. You know, if you have time, use it. I don't know. Is the core is getting younger every year, Lou? Barzell and all these contracts that you signed that are actually good, and Dobson and Horvat and Sorokin.
Yeah.
It's better that we just wasted a year. And they're obviously not, none of them are the problem. but you wasted a year of them. Pelech is hurt on and off. He's not the same player that he used to. Pelech is probably better further down in the pairings. I guess I just don't see the way out of it. I don't even see how adding a player to a team that is broken will help it. Is that a boost? Do you think that'll work?
Here's what I say. I say they go into the trade deadline having everyone available not named. Matthew Barzal, Bo Horvat, Noah Dobson, Alexander Romanov, Ilya Sorokin. And that's it. And you play your best. You do what you can to get into the playoffs. You don't mail it in because that's not their style. But you also don't be afraid to take calls on Brock Nelson, Kyle Palmieri, Ryan Pulock even. I think that, look, you're not going to sit here and be like, yeah, you can have Ryan Pulock for a bag of pucks. It's got to be a good offer. You know, that's what some of these teams are doing right now. Hell, look at Barry Trotz with the Nashville Predators. You want UC Soros? Sure. Pay up. And that's what he's doing. And teams are calling and it's garnering interest. And now other teams are feeling like, maybe we should get in on this. Maybe we'll offer something a little bit better. We don't want to lose this player. And all of a sudden you have options. Why not make everyone available right now? Not name those players that I just named. You still try to compete. The message from Wah should be cancel out the noise. Get on the ice and play your ass off and try to win. At the same time, Lou's got to do what he's got to do. And look.
He just won't, though. I think that's where, like, I think we know that. You're looking at, you know, Sean. Yes, it's time for new GM. No, it's time for new GM.
Though. It is. Look, if ownership can't sit there and realize that, look, they're backed into a corner at this point. Like, how many more years can you make these excuses? Like, the team that they're holding on to is 4 years removed. Like, you can't – it's years of excuses at this point. It's time to, you know – make an uncomfortable decision. Yes, it's Lou Lamoriello. He's well respected for his historically legendary career. That's just not the GM you're seeing right now. And it's probably not the GM that's ever going to return. I mean, there's not enough time for him to do that. So it's just, it's about time that they realize, like, it's, you needed a new voice behind the bench. Maybe you need a new voice from in the management room.
I think that's, you know, there's definitely some player shuffling that needs to happen. And there's, whether you want to call it rotten or stale or comfortable or whatever, there's definitely some of that in the locker room. Some of that may be coming from the GM level too, that the way of doing things has just gotten stale. And it isn't working. And what I wanted to add, though, is I think you're just at a point, and, you know, something like perspective for Lamoriello, and you'd think that this was at the front of his mind. When you're starting to look at week to week and even day to day, what your odds of making the playoffs are going down just by not only by what you do, but what other teams do. And Sean Cuthbert from Hockey Night in New York said Philly plays Tampa tomorrow, and that's as we're recording this now. If Tampa happens to take this one in regulation, Isles would have a chance to pull within 3 points of Philly with a win over Detroit on Thursday and still have a game in hand. Somehow there's a chance to hang around despite being completely pedestrian of late. And for a second, that gave me some hope. Then I thought about it a little more as I was putting the notes together for the show, and I thought, this is exactly like last season when you're depending on other teams on your playoff chances. I don't like the, like, you control your own destiny thing, because that's not what that means. But you're not even controlling anything. You're leaving a lot up to other people. And this season, the Islanders have not been lucky. Now, they've not helped themselves in any single way to be in a position to be lucky or for it to even work out in their favor. But now you're just dependent on people. That's not luck. That's just crossing your fingers. I don't know that if I'm Lou Lamoriello and I'm starting to look at just the math, they could be out by Sunday. But the next time we record, the Islanders could be out. If, you know, it's to Sean's point, if Philly wins tonight and the Islanders lose to Detroit on Thursday, they're cooked. It's done. It just becomes way too hard. And they've not shown any evidence, despite beating the Stars, that they can do that. Because they're Jekyll and Hyde. I think that's maybe the phrase that I even used last episode. They're not the same team game to game. And yeah, I think by the next time that we record, which I believe is next Monday, they play the Red Wings and Bruins, and then they play the Blues on Tuesday. You want to talk must-win games, which is pretty much the last month, when they needed to win. This is where the math, like, I just don't understand it. They need to lose like two. They need to win 8 of 10 moving forward. And I don't know that they can do that. That's a lot of games, and they can't give points away to the Red Wings. Like, they can't beat the Red Wings in OT. They can't hand out points all across the division, all of the conference rather. Then they're going to go out west and play the Sharks, Ducks, and Kings. The Kings, who they beat, who have been okay. I don't know. They're looking at six games, and like, they need to win all six to even.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Stiff. Like, you're looking at, you know, the Red Wings. They're chasing directly. You have to win that game, and that's going to be tough because, you know, they're clicking right now. You see, like, Patrick Kane game the other night where. It Showtime in the spotlight in Chicago scores an OT. Then you have the Bruins. Have they ever played well against the Bruins? Except for, you know, that one playoff series. Then they have the Blues, beatable. Sharks, beatable. Ducks, beatable. Kings, they're plummeting. Sabres, beatable. Senators are playing better, but they're beatable. Like, these are games you must have. All in a row, albeit. But, I mean, have they strung together more than three wins in a row? Four.
They haven't won. Yeah, they haven't done two since Christmas. I don't think they've won 10 games since Christmas. A bunch of teams have gone on 10-game winning streaks or point streaks. The Islanders, I don't think, have even won 10 games since then. Hell, they've only won three or four with Wah.
They have. 8 wins since Christmas.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so there's good news tonight. Detroit is beating Washington, so that helps Washington, but that moves Detroit up to 72 points if they hold, and they're winning 5-2 in the third. And they're not the Islanders, so they won't lose.
Much like the Devils, the Islanders are essentially chasing the Flyers. That's the deal. And look, if there's any way,
this is doable.
It's doable. It's 5 points. If that's in fact still the standings, I need to check, but regardless, it's doable. 62. Yeah. So it's 5 points, and look, depending on which way you want your team, the Islanders to go, you're a fan, depending on which way you want them to go, just the pure truth of the matter right now is that, like I alluded to earlier, like I said earlier, the Flyers are planning on selling no matter what. So if they're selling, then there's, I mean, a chance at least that they drop off. You can catch that team. You can slip your way in. Just get your shit together. And
yeah, they don't play Washington the rest of the way. They play the Devils once more. They play Philly once. Like, they play the Rangers twice. Actually, play the Devils twice. They play Pittsburgh around. Like, there's a lot of opportunity in the next little while to make up some ground in the Metro. Yeah, it really depends. But I think the problem is, if they So they play, I'm sorry. So they play the Red Wings, Bruins, Blues, Sharks. After that Sharks game, then the following day is a trade deadline. At the end of that game, at 1 a.m. on trade deadline day, we'll know what's happening. The rest of the season may not even be worth it. I don't really know how else it shakes out. Because you have to make a move at the deadline if you're going to make the playoffs. But you have to be in a position where you think you're even a contender or it's worth giving up assets to make a move at the deadline, unless it's selling something. So I think we know by the trade deadline what's going on. That's four games. And they need to win all of them. At least steal a point with the Bruins. But they need to go 3-0-1 against the Wings, Bruins, Blues, and Sharks. That's just stay in the conversation. Yeah, and they need to beat the Wings in regulation. Or it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As Patrick Kane extends his point streak to 9 games.
Yeah, and then you need Washington and New Jersey to also falter a little bit. And tonight we'll bring the Capitals to I believe I'm looking at the right line here. They'll be 4-4-2 or something along those lines. The Devils are 4-5-1 in their last 10. They need some favors, and then they need to beat the Devils along the way here to really make it. And they don't play them for a while. So right. It's they've just really not put themselves in a good position. That's why I think, I said personally, my fandom outside of NHP, it's been really hard to just pay attention. I can't watch other hockey because I'm just this is just takes so much emotional weight to, I don't know. It's very difficult to watch other games. It's the Islanders are just too much on their own that I'm not interested in other stuff. And it's frustrating watching other teams. I'm like, why? This is I think I've said this for a long time, and I thought it. You watch other games and you go, why does it seem faster than the Islanders? Like, why is this better quality hockey than when I watch Colorado play Winnipeg or something, and just everyone's snapping it around, and man, it just seems like a different level. Like, it's a different NHL when you're watching some teams play. And you watch an Islander game, and I'm like, why are they in quicksand? It just doesn't seem to be working, but maybe that's just me. Getting close to wanting to wrap it up here. We talked about the upcoming schedule. I'm like half joking about this. Do you think Matt Rempe is going to break the Metro Division? Because what happens with this is every team is going to now think, well, at least in the Metro, okay, well, we need a guy who's gonna go up against this. That line is enormous, right? There's a new identity line in New York that they might be forging that in Madison Square Garden as we speak. Lamoriello must be seething at losing Ross Johnson and then having Matt Martin just absolutely get the brakes beaten off of him. Do you think that's going to have an influence on the rest of the division, especially a team like the Devils, who are, you know, younger, smaller, faster?
Well, here's what I think. Have you seen his face today?
He can't do this forever, and I think this is why people are saying fighting needs to be kind of out of the game, because you're just getting punched in the head.
That's not where I'm not going there. My question is, have you literally seen his face, what it looks like today?
No, but I imagine... Okay,
he's got a big, big black eye, like big, real big, like almost to his cheek big. He can't keep doing this, clearly, for health purposes.
That's what I mean. Like, it's kind of like he just can't get hit in the head, like game after game like this.
So I think there's a conversation that the team has to have with him. Like, hey, reel it back. Don't drop the miss with everybody.
They play the Leafs soon, right? So it's like, you want a piece of Ryan Reeves? Like, all he needs is one good one.
I'll tell you what, I already think he fought the toughest guy in the league. I don't think it's Ryan Reeves. He's up there, but I think it's Nick Delorier. And that guy just doesn't feel pain when he gets his face beaten in. But anyway,
what about Olivier on
Olivier Columbus? Was a good one too. Olivier won that one, and that's why he looks the way he does.
Yeah, right, dude. Now. I mean, it was a few in, so Olivier got a tired Rempe, but either way, he's got he's down 5 inches on him. That's considerable.
So, you know, way I see it is he's going to have to dial it back, but I think that he's certainly at least making a physical impact. Like he can throw checks too. Like I saw him, I didn't think it was, look, he got a match penalty for it. He was ejected, but when he hit Nathan Bastian a few games ago,
that's a penalty.
Yeah. It's, which it was, they called him for a penalty, but they didn't suspend him at all for, or at least fine him, which I was surprised by. I thought he would have at least gotten one game or at least 5,000, the max allowable by the CBA. But
how did that dude come back in the game? How did the
concussion? He didn't. Oh, you mean Bastian?
Bastian. How on earth? He came back. More surprising than not a suspension, which was I don't care how big he is. Figure it out. Either don't lay the hit, or you're big. I don't know. Work around it. You're a professional. Figure it out. That's
the tagline. So, you know, I think that I lost my train of thought here. Oh,
for Bastian coming back in the game.
Came back into the game. He cleared protocol. He apparently suffered a different injury later. So he came back. He was okay. And then later took another hit from Trouba. Didn't like the nature of the hit, dropped the mitts with him, lost, and wound up, you know, not coming back for the third period. So we don't know yet what's wrong with Bastian, but hopefully he's okay. You just don't like to see these kinds of things unravel, which is why, you know, circling it back to Rempe, look, you made your point. Everybody knows who you are now. Do yourself a favor. Stop getting your face bashed in. And, you know, you could still be that physical presence, throw clean hits, and only drop them if you have to. Like, stop obliging everyone.
Yeah, eventually it's just not going to work out. And you just started your career and you're just getting bashed in your skull. That's just not good long term, as we saw with a lot of players for a long time. If you're a fan of hockey from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, it's not tough to not be able to have a long career. You know, we don't want to see that. We want to see guys play as long as they can, if they can hang. Sometimes that means fighting every once in a while, but that can't be your only thing. Now, he scored 2 goals so far as well. But yeah, it's a lot more fights than it is anything else. And my it's going to be like another Tom Wilson thing, where that's going to be the discourse this summer about how every team in the Metro is going to have to get tougher to deal with the Rangers and break GM's brains. They're like, you're just going to see some dumb signings here and there. And that might be the Islanders, just because Martin and Clutterbuck, I think, won't be back and shouldn't be back. You're going to need something. Ross Johnson's not around. You really don't have anybody that can match that size-wise or anything. So maybe, Romanov likes to hit. I don't think it's anywhere near that level. You don't really have it. Like, maybe Mayfield? I don't know that Mayfield can really throw him with him, though. It's a different thing. And Mayfield's got 10 years on him. That's not a good look. You're not going to, and not known for fighting. So that's just another knock against you. So I'll be interested to see how that affects the rest of the division. And of course, I want to end it with our game, our random Islander generator. Do you have any other thoughts on where the Islanders are upcoming before we, I don't know, hopefully go back to a nicer time or some nice memories of a player here?
No, I said my piece, make everyone not name the aforementioned available, and do this thing on the fly. I think it's possible, and you should take a page out of the Flyers book. So go for it.
All right. Let's do this. 51. And I think this might be one of the easier ones that we do. Because obviously Franz Nielsen. And the influence that I think he had on a generation of Islanders, I think we're considerably past that when you think about it. The Franz Nielsen, Oposo, Molson era, throw Tavares in there too.
Yeah.
It's been some time. You got to think it's been, next season will be like 10 years or so. Maybe we're in the 8 years range, kind of depending on where that actual cutoff is. But I think really, I think despite all the turmoil around the team in Brooklyn, they finally win a playoff series. I think Nielsen was still on the Nielsen was still on the team, right? That play in, by 2016, or does he? Is he traded before then? I think he's on the team through the end of that season. It's a lot of memories, and he was on the team for God, for it feels like forever, from 2006, 2007, you know, shootout killer. Really the only thing that was had going for them at that point. What are your memories of Franz Nielsen?
Just, you know, the shootout kind of sore, you know, when they needed somebody to win the game in that moment, it was him. Just a ridiculous backhander. Like, he did the same thing every time, and he scored at like a friggin' 35% clip. It was crazy. So, that was really the crux of it. I mean, I loved Franz as just, you know, a quiet leader, you know, somebody who just did all the little things the right way all the time. It's funny though, you, because of you, I don't only think of Franz when I think of 51. I first think of Franz, but then I always think of weird Franz right after. And it's Valtteri Filppula.
Franz Light.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that happened too. And that was, was that Grabowski and Kuhlman that era, or was that?
Yeah, that's kind of that era with Kuhlman. Go ahead.
Do you remember, now we're really just going down a hole here. Do you remember when the Islanders signed those guys at the same time?
Kuhlman and Filppula?
No, Kuhlman and Grabowski. They like filmed their announcement together in the yard, wherever I guess at one of their houses. I don't remember that. Unless I'm like completely botching this, I'm pretty sure Grabowski and Kuhlman like filmed in their like one of their yards in a pool wearing an Islander jersey. Like, can't wait to come and play for Long Island. I'm pretty sure that happened.
I kind of have to look this up now.
Or something like that happened. Someone will tell me if I'm right or wrong here and post it on Twitter, I'm sure. But yeah, that was my one of my first memories of, you know, and Grabowski likes to do those kinds of things, right? He also was kind of one of the first people to wear a fisherman jersey in the Islander locker room with that funny photo of himself that he took.
They did like a hipster video, I remember, in Brooklyn. Like, they were right around that kind of era where they were doing that, and they're just trying to make any kind of light of that. I think I from those two. Oh, I do. Yeah, I didn't see this wearing the old fisherman stuff. That's super weird with Grabowski. Yeah, I remember them. There was a part of me that just thought, oh, wow, they played together before. How exciting is that going to be? I always thought that they were both really good. Kuhlman's a hard worker, good on the penalty kill. You know, Grabowski was just like a good Russian player. I don't know if he's like from Belarus or something like that. But I don't know. I just got really excited. The Russian hipsters, the two of them, they made a video. It's the two of them is very funny to think about. That seems like really a long time ago. Yeah. Any other rabbit holes you want to jump down with that? Or Philpola is very funny too. That's obviously the other one. The other ones are Dave Roche and Anders Meyervold. Neither of those players ring a bell. That's because Dave Roche played one game with the Islanders. We will let anxiety take that on as a weird Islander. If they even have enough information on that guy, or any kind of memory, because it wasn't really that long ago, it seems, 2002. And Meyervold, 12 games. So yeah, I think that we'll leave those to them. We'll take the lower hanging fruit there. That was cool. I like these for just a little memory lane. I know they're unprepared and it seems a little chaotic, but it's kind of nice. Anything else? You're good?
I'm all set, partner.
You gotta pack up. So you gotta figure some stuff out over there. Get out of your kitchen nook. Always afraid of that little shelf above your head that was gonna fall down. Please rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen or watch the show. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. I did post on Threads today. So we're back. I'm trying to do something there. Hashtags are weird. I'm trying to figure that out. You can find James' work at New Jersey Hockey Now. And James, bring us home. I think we need a classic to just rally the troops here.
Until next time, let's go, Islanders.